All these years, he'd been running away from what he'd done. He told himself he wouldn't change it if he could, that all the good he'd done in the years since was only possible because of the position he'd bought with the Brawler's lifeblood. With every life he saved, every outlaw slain, he tried to tip the invisible scales against which was balanced the lead weight of his betrayal. On good days, he told himself he'd paid hell back double. On other days, he wasn't sure he ever could. From poisoned roots grew poisoned fruits. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode where we last left off. Haytham goes charging into Paul's burning house in order to rescue Lee from the fire. As always, I will leave a link to the full playlist down in the episode description, so if there are any episodes that you've missed, make sure to check that out there, along with a couple of links to some recap videos just to give you a sense of where we are in the story. All right, I will get out of my own way. I'll catch you guys at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call. And this is Last Colosseum. Elias woke in ugly spirits with a head full of thunder. It was a compromise he'd been making since he got back to the edge. Sleep without dreams in exchange for hangovers without mercy. Come daylight, he always regretted it, but the devil that stalked his nightmares had a way of convincing him otherwise when the night hours stretched long and terrible. He forced himself to sit up and waited for the nausea to pass. His eyes were puffy and crusted shut, and he pried them open to find the mid-morning sun slanting through the crack in his heavy, blood-colored curtains. The curse that issued from between his clenched teeth tasted like whiskey and bile. He should have been up an hour ago. He untangled himself from his coverlet and padded across the thick carpet toward the privy. The girl was gone. She knew better than to stay until he woke up, when the headache stripped away any trace of the tenderness that he showed her between when they finished rutting and when he found Black Oblivion. She'd come to him of her own accord 3 nights past, after she heard what had happened to him in the city. Rumors spread like wildfire among the servants of the Grey Keep. The governor's own physician had already seen to his injuries. The worst of it was a lingering cold after his dip in the Jaxum, and a few cuts and bruises besides. But he'd been half blind from the laudanum the old man had mixed him when she knocked on the servant door. She'd hesitated only a little when he took her hand and pulled her down onto the bed. And in both the nights since, he'd sent for Rowan by name. It wasn't love, not even close, but it passed the time, and after all he'd done for her, saving her life, landing her that plum job as a scullion in the keep, she was eager to pay him thanks. He wet his face in the brass washbasin, savoring the cool droplets running down his neck and chest. He was nude, tall and lean, with tight cords of muscle belted across his chest and arms. He ran his thumb across one of the dark love bites she'd left layered over the lighter bruising that mottled his side from his shoulder down to his knee. He'd left her with worse. In his bedchamber, he rang the bell to summon his breakfast, and gingerly he pulled on his breeches, tight and crimson to evince the shape of his well-muscled legs. He was still sore from his fall, but worse yet was that sickish feeling at the bottom of his gut that hadn't left him, even when he was safe in the warm comfort of the keep. It was the prickles on your nape feeling of being watched by unseen eyes, like a lion in long grass. The morning after the ambush, he'd written to the captain of the keepers demanding that he dispatch squads of gray cloaks to sweep house by house through the city until they found the Reaper. He knew what he'd seen, same as the day he came riding through the city, the devil himself. He'd let himself be talked out of it by Shiloh and the others, and he'd almost gotten killed for it. As sure as breathing, somehow, the Brawler was back. In the meantime, he doubled his personal guard. Anyone who sought an audience with Lord Whiterose would have to run a gauntlet of swords and halberds. Officially, that was all he could do, besides sit on his hands and wait. Unofficially, he had all the considerable resources of the Brethren at his disposal, and he'd sent for Shiloh 2 days ago to see what he could glean from his extensive network of ears in the city. He hadn't heard back. They brought breakfast through the servant door. Eggs and pork and a hunk of warm barley bread with a generous dollop of butter softening in a shallow bowl and a massive flagon of black coffee to wash it all down. He'd been taking meals in his quarters ever since coming back to the edge, ever since the baleful gray gaze of a dead man branded itself on his eyelids. Along with breakfast, they brought a stack of letters addressed to Lord Whiterose, and this they added to the small mountain of correspondence that littered the desk in his study. He had 2 moons' worth of letters to catch up on from his time on campaign, and as many more had arrived in the days since word of his adventure in the city had trickled through Cliffside. He cleared some space for the tray, ignoring the bunch of letters that sloughed off the desk onto the floor. "Leave them," he rasped as one of the servants stooped to pick them up. They both bowed and left. He kneaded at his temples and tried to summon his appetite as he thumbed through today's mail for a reply from Shiloh. Nothing. More well wishes from the widows of Cliffside, an update from Larkspur about the mop-up of Free Nation stragglers, a note from the Gov's physician on how Brinley was recovering. Gutshot and trampled by his own carriage, the driver had somehow managed to survive, although he'd spend the rest of his life shitting out of a hole in his side. Elias jotted a note on a scrap of parchment to remind himself to send flowers to the poor sod's wife. His headache continued to thud relentlessly in his temples, and with his free hand he pawed through his desk drawer and withdrew the pouch of his effects. Just a quick snift of spice to blunt the teeth of his hangover. He wouldn't need much, what with the barrel of coffee the servants had wheeled in. He paused for only a moment, staring down at the tiny copper spoon with its payload of fine yellow powder. He'd needed it to keep his strength up on the long rides during the campaign, running on only a few hours of sleep a night, when a moment's lapse during a skirmish was enough to get you killed. But that was then. He'd seen the ravages that a spice habit wrought on a man's body. Abuse it long enough and it turned you into a gibbering madman and rotted the nose right off your face. Killing the raiders who'd spent years in the grip of the powder was a kind of mercy. He'd promised himself on the Hinter that he'd toss it in the chamber pot once he got back to the keep. And he would. Just not quite yet. Pleasure surged through him, swift and sudden like a summer storm. His hands balled into fists, the veins in his forearms bulging with life. He tipped his head back and sighed deep, a grin breaking across his already reddening cheeks. "Lord Whiterose?" He cursed and almost jumped out of his seat, blood roaring in his ears. If the guard had knocked on the big door to the sitting room to herald his visitor's arrival, Elias hadn't heard it. He was clad in all white, his hands clasped in front of him as though he'd just finished his prayers. His bald head was cocked, his lips wet and slightly parted in a look of placid serenity. His nose was slightly upturned, like a fairy in a painting. Or a pig in a pen. "Shiloh," Elias acknowledged, quickly sliding over the physician's letter to cover the spice and his effects. "I wasn't expecting you." "I heard what happened," the merchant replied, not moving from the doorway. "I felt that it deserved an audience." He turned toward the mantel, admiring the large painting that hung above it. Elias had commissioned it himself, a rampant lion with a white rose caught between its teeth. "How are you feeling?" "I wrote you 2 days ago. I had other business to attend to. Great men are always being pulled in a dozen different directions, as you yourself know." This last part he added with a backward glance at Whiterose. Elias ignored the compliment. He was still fuming over being ignored. Shiloh hadn't even offered him the courtesy of a note explaining why. He waved to one of the squat velvet chairs on the other side of the desk. "I came as soon as I could," Shiloh added as he eased himself into the seat. "And? You saw my letter. What have you heard?" The merchant's nostrils flared. He didn't say anything. Elias read doubt in his serene little smile. It was the same expression he'd worn at their last meeting, when Elias had first raised his concerns about what he'd seen in the street.
"I know what I saw. You said I was paranoid. I said to be careful," the man in white interjected, "not to act out of paranoia."
Elias waved off the correction.
"I told you it was Haytham. Now I've got a man fighting for his life because he caught a quarrel that was meant for me."
He caught a glimpse of his reflection in the empty glass case that usually held his plate. The armorer was taking his sweet time with the repairs.
and he forced the scowl off his face. He let out a long, slow breath and said in an even, if slightly strained, voice, "I'm not paranoid."
"Certainly not,"
Shiloh allowed. His gaze was piercing, and Elias hid behind his flagon. The coffee burned his throat going down, and when he lowered the flagon, his tongue felt thick and fuzzy.
"There is obviously someone out there who means to harm you. You say it's your Hatham."
Elias wiped his mouth.
"He's not my Hatham."
Shiloh made a conciliatory gesture with a flick of his stubby little fingers.
"I knew him for half my life. I saw him twice."
He could feel his anger rising, whether because of the hangover or the spice, he didn't know, and he fought to keep a grip on himself.
"I don't know how, but I know what I saw."
Shiloh didn't respond. Elias cast about for a copy of the book so he could swear on it. He could feel the merchant's eyes on the back of his neck.
"You think I'm mad?"
Shiloh kept his silence for a long minute.
"Of course not,"
he murmured once Elias had settled back into his seat.
"But the assertion you're making is extraordinary. You know what happened to the Reaper?"
His eyebrows wriggled above pale, colorless eyes.
"You were there.
You stuck him in the back," he didn't say, and Elias was grateful for it. All these years, he'd been running away from what he'd done. He told himself he wouldn't change it if he could, that all the good he'd done in the years since was only possible because of the position he'd bought with the Brawler's lifeblood. With every life he saved, every outlaw slain, he tried to tip the invisible scales against which was balanced the lead weight of his betrayal. On good days, he told himself he'd paid hell back double. On other days, he wasn't sure he ever could. From poisoned roots grew poisoned fruits.
"We're left with three possibilities."
Shiloh counted them off on his little sausage fingers.
"One, he survived that night. It's possible. But it seems unlikely that he'd have gone to ground for so many years without a word, and then all at once he's everywhere."
He grasped his ring finger.
"Two, he's come back from the dead."
Elias listened very carefully for any trace of scorn in the merchant's voice. Shiloh touched the heavy blood tree medallion nestled between his breasts.
"It's not unheard of."
White Rose sat back and folded his arms.
"Or three," continued Shiloh. "Perhaps what you saw isn't what you think you saw. Let me finish,"
he snapped as Elias opened his mouth to object.
"Someone attacked you. No one's denying that. But does it not seem strange that on the very night you're attacked, a man called Reaper makes his grand return to the fighting pits?"
From the folds of his robe, he produced a folded square of parchment. He smoothed it on his chest and laid it flat in front of White Rose, right on top of his spice and its hidden effects. He recognized the advert immediately, the skull and the ogre, the big block letters above it announcing the Reaper's revenge. A wave of goose flesh coursed down his arms when he saw it.
"You think Kingmaker's behind this?" he heard himself murmur. "I think it's possible. I put out word after you wrote me."
The way he said it was as if to remind Elias that he hadn't been sitting on his hands in the intervening days.
"And yesterday I spoke with a skin painter who was recently paid handsomely to put a pair of wings on a man's back."
He leaned in, the golden medallion swinging below his neck like a pendulum.
"I don't believe in men rising from the dead. I think there's a more likely explanation, one that centers around Brayden Kingmaker."
He reached over the piles of mail and tapped the advert.
"Why?"
Elias growled. The spice was fading, and the storm clouds crept in over his temples.
"Why is he after me?"
Shiloh shrugged.
"Who knows what goes on in that man's mind? His grip on the brethren is slipping, and a cornered animal might do anything. I'll have him arrested, string him up naked from a gallows on the sanctuary steps."
The merchant blinked at the venom in Elias's voice.
"What for? Even if you could find him, and that's hardly a guarantee, he'll demand a trial, and he'll get one. And not in front of some magistrate, either. He's bought up enough land on the Hinter to be a baron, on paper, anyway. So he'll be tried by nobles, and nothing we've talked about is solid enough to convince them to condemn one of their own.
They're all too attached to their own necks to establish a precedent of executing noblemen. Elias scowled and chewed on the inside of his cheek until he tasted blood.
Does the skin painter know who paid him?
She doesn't. The merchant's eyes glittered, but she did have the address for the man she did the temporaries for. The nobleman's pulse quickened. With trembling hands, he snatched up the scrap of parchment on which he'd written the note about the flowers and shoved it into the merchant's hands.
Write it down.
Shiloh hesitated. He didn't reach for the quill and inkpot that Elias slid across the desk, leaving a black smear across the polished surface.
Might it not be better to handle this discreetly? He murmured. I'm as eager as you are to know who attacked you.
Elias had stood up. He towered over the sitting merchant, his lips pursed, teeth like a vice.
Write it down.
His tone brooked no argument. Shiloh only paused for half a second more before he reached for the pen and jotted the address with violence on the scrap of paper.
If you have him arrested, it'll tip off whoever hired him that you're coming after them.
He threw down the pen and glared at the black smudge it had left on the index and middle fingers of his white silk glove. He looked up at White Rose.
Elias, don't waste this lead.
He'd already made up his mind.
I want him to know I'm coming. I want him to know I'll be ready next time.
His hand crossbow was dangling on its harness from the back of his chair. Ever since the campaign, he'd taken to keeping it within easy reach wherever he went, even in the bath. He drew it fluidly from the harness and glared down the sights, aiming it at the mannequin behind the glass. He squeezed the lever, and an imaginary hornet leapt out of the spent crossbow, passed through the glass without a ripple, and took the mannequin through the chest.
The Grey Cloaks have ways of making men talk, Elias muttered. If he knows anything, we'll find it out.
And if he doesn't? He tossed the crossbow down on the desk. More letters sloughed onto the floor.
He should have known better than to play-act the Reaper.
The man in white wore a pensive look as he stared up at White Rose, absently rubbing the stained fingers of his ruined glove against his thumb.
Be careful, he cautioned softly.
For a moment, it looked like he might say more, but he held his tongue. Elias wasn't listening. He had what he wanted. He didn't need the merchant clucking over him like a mother hen, reminding him to look both ways before crossing the street. Besides, he was due for another sniff of spice, and the longer the fat little man sat there, the more the hairs on his nape prickled and that insatiable itch started up on the soft undersides of his arms.
He dismissed Shiloh. Next time, don't make me wait.
He chose a letter at random from the pile and made a big show of opening it and beginning to read. He felt the merchant's eyes on him, burning a hole through the translucent parchment. Elias didn't dare look up.
Of course,
came his quiet reply. He dipped his head to White Rose.
My lord.
Elias stared blankly at the letter. He read the same line 6 times before he heard the big door in the sitting room thump shut. It was only after Shiloh had gone that Elias realized that one of the letters that had fluttered to the floor had been the note covering the pouch of spice, his copper spoon, and the little measuring tray. If Shiloh had seen it, he'd given no indication that he had. It left an uneasy feeling at the bottom of his gut, one that lingered even after he measured out his second and third sniffs, even as the thin, watery pleasure of the spice roared in his ears and set his heart galloping. Thank you guys so much for listening. It really does mean the world to me to be able to share this story with all of you. As always, it's a huge help if you leave a 5-star review if you're listening on podcast or if you're catching this on YouTube to make sure to leave a like or a comment on the video. All right, that is enough from me. I will catch you guys next week. Same time, same place. I'll see you then.